NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money, and it's Indicators of the Week. I'm Adrian Ma, and I'm here with...
Darian Woods.
And Stacey Vanek-Smith.
We go through so many numbers and so many indicators. Do you ever look back and wonder just like, where are these indicators now?
I'm also curious, yeah.
Same.
We just left them hanging. Then what happened?
Today on Indicators of the Week, we looked at some indicators from the past, and turns out some of these have been pretty busy. Busy enough to wind back up in the news this week.
100 million N95 respirator masks coming to...
The El Salvador Bitcoin experiment, it certainly continues apace. It
drives quarter. So GDP is looking a lot better than it was. The personal consumption...
After the break, three indicators. Where are they now?
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, a platform that makes investing in high-end real estate easy. You tell Fundrise your investing goals, and Fundrise puts your money into the real estate deals that are right for you. Sign up for free at fundrise.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Data IQ, the AI platform that connects data and doers through everyday AI, helping leading organizations turn complex data into business impact at dataiku.com.
Today, my indicator of the week is 1,500 bitcoins. That is how many bitcoins the government of El Salvador reportedly owns, which is about three times as many bitcoins as it had in early September.
Right. That was when El Salvador became the first country to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender. Basically said people could buy stuff with it, pay their taxes with it, all that kind of thing.
All that jazz. And not only that, the government rolled out Bitcoin ATMs, and they had this app that they developed for helping people manage Bitcoin transactions. And in one sense, you could say this initial rollout worked kind of well. I mean, a lot of people ended up trying it out. And for a couple of months, at least, Bitcoin was on a tear. Like, the price went from around $45,000 apiece to a record high approaching $70,000.
I mean, I'm not going to do the maths right here and now, but that seems like they were making a lot of money at that time.
Yes. But then things didn't go so well. During that time, a lot of people were already saying they were against the move. There were reports of people who said their special government app for handling Bitcoin, that their accounts got hacked.
Oh, dear.
And to make things worse, globally, the price of Bitcoin has plummeted. The past couple months, Bitcoin lost about 50% of its value. So, any guesses as to why?
Maybe. Is the Dogecoin more popular now?
Yeah, that's really a leading indicator.
Everyone's just transferring over to the Dogecoin. Anybody? Anybody?
Certainly some people are saying the stock market is involved. Like you have the Federal Reserve saying, you know, we are going to raise interest rates soon. And that has some investors thinking the party might be over and it's time to dump their riskier assets like cryptocurrency.
That seems like a more likely explanation, Stacey. But, you know, I have noticed if you look at other cryptocurrencies, there seems to be a decline there as well.
Yes and yes. Both theories as to why Bitcoin is tanking right now. One more for you. Buyer's remorse. A lot of people who saw this, you know, rocket ship taking off in November, they tried to jump on. And lately, they've been getting kind of motion sick from all the ups and downs in the price. And they're dumping their Bitcoin, which is sending the price down even more.
Oh, that sounds like very, very bad news for El Salvador.
Yeah, and even the International Monetary Fund thinks so. They told El Salvador this week, like, please stop using Bitcoin as legal tender. But the person whose idea it was to do this in the first place, the president, Nayib Bukele, he's basically been making a big show of saying, like, I am not worried, and tweeting a lot of memes saying, no big deal.
If in doubt, you can always make memes.
Darian Woods, indicator check-in, where are they now? What is your indicator that you are checking back in on?
So my indicator of the week is 400 million, the number of N95 masks that the government is sending to the public for free, courtesy of the American taxpayer. Those are being rolled out to pharmacies and grocery stores this week. Good for slowing the spread of COVID. But the person I want to check in with is a mask maker.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Darren. How you doing?
I called up Luis Argueo Jr. at Demotech, and he is my where are they now guy for this episode.
We spoke to him last March, and he was just in this really strange situation where his company was making a ton of N95 masks. And at the time, everybody needed masks. But strangely, he was finding his masks pretty hard to sell.
Yeah, when we spoke to him, he had laid off a lot of staff. Part of the reason, he said, was CDC guidance, which was basically saying to the general public, don't buy N95 masks.
So since then, how's Luis's business been doing?
Great question.
So after our talk, we ended up scaling even further down. Total layoff was about 1,500 jobs.
Yeah, a huge layoff. And then Luis says there was this turning point in terms of N95 mask sales. Of course, the Omicron wave started, but also there was this change in CDC guidance this month, which encouraged the general public to wear higher quality masks.
Sales skyrocketed, and finally people were saying, okay, well, I want to get a good mask. And that was extremely important.
Luis says he's scaling back up. He's hired back some of the people he laid off last year. And he's in talks with the federal government for a 10-year contract for masks. And he says that that will help him have that financial stability to keep those really hard-to-train core staff members and those machines on board ready for the next time there's a surge in demand.
I would compare it to our military. We invest in our military. We have reserves. We do training, hoping we never need it. But it's there in case we do at a day's notice. And that's what we need to do with our healthcare sector.
Ultimately, these workers have had to face the brunt of this rollercoaster ride of demand up and down and up and down. And Luis's experience illustrates just how hard it is for individual businesses to plan ahead in this pandemic economy. I mean, do you have whiplash right now?
I'm surprised I'm still married. I haven't slept in probably a couple of months and never home working 20 hours a day. But we're doing what we need to do right now to make sure the country has the masks.
Dang.
That's Luis. Machines at full capacity at the moment, sending out millions of masks. He's feeling a bit more secure this year.
Hang in there, friend.
So that's our mask maker. We had the president of El Salvador. And now for our next where are they now indicator. It's actually a number. It's not a person. And Stacey Vanek-Smith, tell us about GDP.
Okay, here we go. Gross domestic product. It's basically the sum total of all the goods and services an economy produces. So it's, you know, generally seen as sort of the indicator of economic growth.
It's the big one.
And there was this one moment in 2020, July 2020, the sort of beginning shocks of COVID. And for that quarter, the GDP fell by almost 33%.
Oof.
Technically 32.9%.
That is an oof moment.
It was a terrifying moment. This was an annualized number. And I remember just thinking, you know, this can't really happen that many times. You can't lose 33% of the economy that many times.
Eventually, you run out of numbers.
You run out of numbers very quickly. We got some good GDP news this week, better than expected, in fact. For the quarter ending in December, GDP grew at an annualized rate of 6.9%, which was higher than was expected overall. And for the year, for 2021, GDP, our economy, grew at a rate of 5.7%. I mean, this really does show that the economy is kind of back and humming. And of course, since then, like, consumer spending is sort of hitting all-time highs. And in fact, companies can't make stuff fast enough. The problem now is not demand, it is supply. But this brings us to the possible caveat in the GDP number.
Yeah, it's like, where are the caveats?
You knew this bet was coming because we're in just such a strange economic time right now. So the number is very good. Economists are a bit concerned because, you know, a lot of this is seen as maybe an after effect of the stimulus crash. Also, the stock market's been like really booming. People have a little more money than usual in the U.S. So they've been spending. So there's a concern that if that pulls back, the GDP number could dip again. Also, it looks like the Federal Reserve might raise interest rates, make borrowing a little more expensive. That could slow the economy down. But still, especially considering the Omicron variant and the effects that has had, 6.9% makes me feel much better.
Okay, most improved player of the year award for GDP.
Most improved, yes, GDP most improved, exactly.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Nikki Willett with help from James Willits. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges. Viet Le is our senior producer, our editor is Kate Kincannon, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.